You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
And welcome in another edition of MLB.com Extras, the Houston Astros edition. I'm Dave Raymond with Brian McTaggart, and look, B-Tags, we're doing this podcast on a Thursday. Wednesday night, Lance McCullers started his fourth major league game, and he pitched a beauty. I mean, 11 strikeouts, no walks, a complete game against the Baltimore Orioles, and just had flat-out electric stuff. Now, going back into your database, your mental database, you've been watching this team for a long time. Were you reminded of anyone or any moment watching him pitch and dominate the way he did last night?
Wow, boy, no. You know, I really wasn't. I mean, Cosart had a nice debut a couple of years ago in Tampa where he took a no-hitter, I think, into the seventh inning and showed electric stuff. But, you know, to do it at home and to be so efficient, and, boy, he just pitches with such confidence. I mean, it was fun to watch. He had a five-pitch inning late in the game, his 100th pitch of the game. He's throwing 96 miles an hour. And I really thought it was great. You know, he's cruising along. He's retired a bunch in a row, allows a two-out hit in the ninth, and Hinch immediately comes out there to talk to him, and, you know, the fans were getting antsy. They wanted to see the kid finish it off, and Hinch went out there with the intent of keeping him in the game. He just wanted to see where McCullers' mind was at, and he pretty much told him, you got one more guy, and then I'm going to have to pull you out, and lo and behold, he gets the final out and throws a complete game. Just very impressive, and what a boost for the Astros, who, you know, we've talked a lot about they're struggling with pitching depth, starting pitching, but, you know, if they got McCullers doing what he's doing, I don't think there's any reason to believe he's not going to be an effective pitcher. He's going to have his ups and downs, but if they can get quality starts out of him and every now and then a start like this, they found themselves something pretty special.
Yeah, I know. First-round draft pick, 2012. They knew he had great stuff, but last night was the night where you really saw what he's capable of doing. Now, maybe the thing that stands out from that outing, the no walk, certainly a big part of it, but the fact that he was as efficient as he was, you mentioned, you know, able to complete the game, kept the pitch count low, especially late, had some good efficient innings. But his first three starts didn't exactly go that way. So was there any feeling in the clubhouse, maybe talking to Hinch or anybody afterward, that, you know, that maybe he made some sort of mental leap or got over some sort of hurdle last night that previously had given him trouble?
Yeah, I think he did. You know, he was a little more aggressive. He attacked the zone a little more. I mean, he's got stuff to get people out. And I think maybe his first few starts, he's nitpicking a little bit, you know, trying to feel his way around a little bit. You know, it'd be natural for a 21-year-old guy who hasn't even pitched in AAA. But, you know, I think after three starts, he decided, hey, I'm going to go out here and I'm going to throw my stuff. I have major league stuff to get people out. And, with every inning, he built confidence, and Castro did a nice job behind the plate helping him. And you could really see the confidence building inning after inning. He's always been a confident kid. You know, he comes from a major league pedigree, so not much faces him. But he really handled himself well during the game. And after the game, he was he wasn't too high. You could tell he was satisfied, but he knows there's still work to be done because all of a sudden he's a key piece in a rotation for a team that is contending for a division title one third of the way through the season.
Did you get the sense that he's here to stay? I mean, you're waiting for Scott Feldman to get back. I know there are certain questions. I mean, he's not guaranteed a spot by any means, but do you think that performance on Wednesday night might have, at least turned in several more?
Well, I would certainly think so. And, yeah, I mean, they're struggling with some depth right now. But, Roberto Hernandez is kind of struggling a little bit. And I think if they make a change in the rotation that – maybe he's the guy they make a change with at this point. Oberholzer's got one start back from the blister, so he's still got some work to do as well. So I think McCullers is sitting in a pretty good spot. Feldman's still, you know, another 4 or 5 weeks away. And, you know, if they make a trade, who knows what happens. But if he pitches like he did against the Orioles, then they'd be really wise to keep him in the rotation, no matter who they acquire or no matter who comes back healthy.
Yeah, I was watching on TV last night, and they were wondering when Hinch went out to the mound in the ninth inning there, I think it was suggested that it was, you know, a conversation, a question. Do you have enough? Can you do it? And Lance McCullers basically convinced Hinch to let him stay in there. It sounds like it was quite the opposite, right? He was going out there just to let him know that he had another hitter. But tell us a little bit about the personality of Lance McCullers as you've gotten to know him over the past several weeks at the big league level anyway, and I know you've seen him in spring training, but what kind of a kid is he? What kind of a competitor? What do you see in the personality?
Yeah, he's a very confident kid, very comfortable in the clubhouse, which is what you expect because his dad pitched in the majors for a long time, but very, very, very affable. You know, he's approachable, and, you know, he comes by and says hi, but there's a confidence about him that you don't get from a lot of people. You just feel like he feels like he belongs, even though he's only been here four starts. Even when he came up, you got the idea this is a major league guy. He's got major league character and makeup, and it'll be interesting to see. Always interesting to see once these guys get going and get success how they change, if they change with the media or if they change with the teammates. But so far he's fit in right well, and it's a very dynamic clubhouse. It's an energetic clubhouse because you have George Springer who's doing all kinds of energetic stuff all the time, and McCullers is the kind of guy I think that would fit in and feed off that kind of thing.
Hang out with Dwight Howard in that really tiny tank top.
I think we should get a couple of those, David.
That was a great look. One I'm not about to jump into anytime soon. We could talk McCullers for a long time, but the big news today coming out about a new look to Minute Maid Park, and normally I wouldn't get into a whole lot of this sort of stuff, but we're talking about removing Towels Hill to accommodate these new things. And I will tell you personally, Brian, I like Towels Hill. I thought that was a neat addition and one of those quirks to the ballpark that really made it unique. I know other people certainly have strong opinions the other way. What are your thoughts about the changes that are afoot at Minute Maid Park?
Well, I'm with you. I like Towels Hill as well. People make the case, well, someone could get injured. But, in 16 years, no one has ever gotten injured going up Towels Hill. I'm sure it would happen eventually, but it's not like they're falling down potholes out there. You really got to smoke the ball to get it up there, and there's not many center fielders that can make that run and catch it on the hill. We saw Jake Marisnik make a great catch on the hill earlier this year, and he fell down as he was going up the hill, and I asked him what that felt like. He said it was like he was running, and he stubbed his toe and fell, and he still made the catch. But, yeah, they're going to remove Towels Hill for next year. They're going to move the fence in. It is 436 now. It's going to move into 409 in center field, so still a big center field. One of the top 10 biggest center fields, I believe, in the league. But what it's going to allow them to do is have more fan amenities out in center field where they're really on a whole lot right now. There'll be a few more bars out there. There's going to be an area where fans can actually watch the game from beyond the center field wall at field level, which other ballparks do. We've seen that in San Francisco and places like that. So, I think that's pretty cool. And the renderings look pretty cool. I mean, I'll give it to the Astros. They're taking away the hill, but what they plan to do looks pretty nice. And over the last couple of years, they've really gone out of their way to improve the ballpark. The club level looks amazing. It's completely new. The upper deck they've reimagined. And so it's going to be really different next year not having the hill out there for sure. But, I think with what they're doing, it looks pretty good. I took a poll a couple of weeks ago on Twitter, just an informal poll as far as the hill. I think it was about 60 to 40 like the hill, so there's going to be a little bit of backlash. But it's just like moving to the American League. People hated that. They'll get over it. If the Astros win, it won't matter if there's a hill out there or a moat. They won't care.
Well, I agree with that. I do agree with that. It's all about the wins and losses at the end of the day. And they're doing plenty of the winning these days. Best start in franchise history. And what's interesting, too, is as we approach the June amateur draft, it's the first time in a while now that they haven't had or won't have the first pick of the draft. And yet, the Astros are going to make history this year with two of the top five picks in the draft. And I'm sure that the Jeff Luno and company have to feel really excited about their position in this draft. Any indications, any conversation about what they're looking to do?
Well, they're drafting from a position of strength again. Like you said, with the 2 and 5 picks, it's never been done before. It gives them $17 million to spend, which is way more than over $3 million more than any other team. So they can get creative if they want with that money. And we saw them do that a couple of years ago. Well, in 2012, when they took Correa and they can give extra money to McCullers was one, and Rio Ruiz, who's since been traded. They tried to do that last year, too, and it didn't work out so well. But drafting second and fifth, they're going to be able to get two impact players to go in their system right away. This draft is very heavy on shortstops. There's a lot of shortstops at the top of the board, maybe 7 to 10 shortstops who could go in the first round. So with two of the first five picks, I wouldn't be surprised if they took a shortstop. Yeah, they do have Carlos Correa here, but, you know, you pick a shortstop, he's a couple years away. A lot of things could happen, position changes, trades, you know, who knows. If you got what you feel is the best player on the board at number two and he's a shortstop and he's head and shoulders above anybody else, you think, then you got to take him. And, of course, picking that high, I wouldn't be surprised if they go after a pitcher. You can always use more pitching. There are some good college pitchers, too, at the top of the draft. So right now, if I just had to, without naming any names, I think they could get a shortstop on a pitcher, 1-2. Last year they took a lot of college players. 37 out of the 41 players they took were college players, and three of the high school players they picked they didn't sign. So I think now that the farm system is so deep, they have the luxury where they can take some high school players now and allow them more time to develop because they don't need to rush guys to the big leagues like they did in years past.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see what they do this year because it's a bold new world right now for the Houston Astros, especially as they see kids like Lance McCullers on the come as well. Well, Brian, I know you got a lot to cover. Get out there and savor Towels Hill for these remaining moments. And we'll look forward to chatting again next week.
Sounds great, Dave. Take care.
All right, B-Tag. There we go. Brian McTaggart, MLB.com Extras, the Houston Astros edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.